Welcome to Kaneda's Pinball Podcast. I'm your host, Kaneda. All right, I'm just going to go off on this episode because what I want to talk about right now is one simple thing. Where are the great machines in the highest pinball prices in the history of pinball? Where are the games that are going to take a spot in your home? Do me a favor. Go look around your game room. Look at your home. Look at your pinball machines. How many great machines do you have? Do you have a lot of room for more machines? What's going to take a spot in your home? That is what should be on the wall at every single pinball company. What we're competing with. We're not competing with other companies. We're not competing for themes. We're not competing for light shows. We're not competing for anything other than a space in people's homes and a space on location. But for the most part, for new in-box pinball to survive, it needs to find a spot in the homes of consumers around the world. I don't know where you guys are living, but it's not like the arcade scene is anywhere near what it was in the 90s, and you can't make thousands of pinball machines new in-box and expect this industry to survive on location play alone. And even when I went to go play Looney Tunes on location, you're never really gonna get the best pinball experience on location. The reason why I love playing on location nowadays is because new in-box pinball is just stupidly priced. And in a world in which it's so expensive, it's gonna take a really great game for you to put it in your home and for you to spend the money on it. So let's talk about what's going on in the pinball world right now. Where are the great games? Where are the great games in pinball right now? We are in 2024. What is the game everybody is talking about? What is the game that everyone is so excited about? What is the game that everybody is clamoring to get? We are now into April of 2024, and I just posed that question. Are we playing the best pinball we've seen in years? Are we seeing incredible pinball innovation like we haven't seen before? Is anyone raising the roof? Is anyone raising the bar? Is anyone developing games based on AAA themes that you really can't wait to get? No, they're not. We're still living in this like world of pinball where everything around the corner is the best thing ever. Right? We're waiting for Back to the Future. We're waiting for Harry Potter. We're waiting for Matrix. We're waiting for this. We're waiting for that. And the thing is this, half of those won't even happen. Half of those will not come out. Half of them won't be great. And I want to talk about the here and the now. Because as I look at this pinball landscape and all of these companies, Stern, Jersey Jack, Chicago Gaming, Spooky Pinball, Barrels of Fun, CGC, Multimorphic, Turner Pinball, American Pinball, we've got all these companies trying to make pinball machines. And why is it that right now, nobody's got the game that's the talk of the town? Elton John's not the talk of the town. Yeah, it's a great game. It's severely overpriced. That's it. End of story. There's nothing else to say about Elton John. It's a great game. It's severely, and I don't mean just by a little bit, it's severely overpriced. And it's coming out from a company that had two flop games in a row where if you bought a Toy Story 4 or a Godfather, you've lost like 40% of the new in-box price on those games. So there's no wonder why people are not running towards Elton John, because people don't want the same thing to happen again. And I'm just gonna say this, like Guns N' Roses owners out there, guys, let me just tell you right now, you are not gonna see Guns N' Roses prices go up because Jersey Jack Pinball finally finishes the code after 4 years of the game being out. Just think about that for a minute. For 4 years, they've been getting feedback on how to make this game better. And what did they do? Did they continue to work on the game? It was their best-selling game of all time. And what did they do for owners of that game who had it for the last 3.5 years? They did nothing. They did absolutely nothing to listen to your feedback, to make the game better, to remove some of those multi-balls. Nothing. All they've done now is make you buy a new playfield, and now you have to spend $400 on an IO board because the one that's in the game is absolute garbage, and the game plays like it's underwater after you've had the game on for 30 minutes. And so, no, I'm not going to thank you, Jersey Jack, that you finally got around after 4 years of a game being out. You finally got around to paying attention to the people who spent a lot of money on it. Because nowadays, like a Guns N' Roses LE is like a $7,000 game, right? And there's 5,000 of them out there in the world at $7,000 a pop. Is it a good buy now? Sure, it's a great buy now because it's $5,000 less than Elton John Platinum. The new pricing model, stupid, doesn't work. So Elton John is not the answer about the game we're all talking about now. It's still a beautiful game, severely overpriced. Guns N' Roses, it's never gonna have a second life. And you all know the real reason why, right? It's not just the multi-balls, and I love GNR as a band, but there's no way around the layout. Like, you're just never gonna get people who love shooting pinball to ever consider the GNR layout to be a great layout. Like, nothing is ever gonna change that. It's a beautiful game. It's really cool what Eric did. I love the concert in a box. That's where that game shines. It's all about the concert experience. But the actual gameplay will never be great. The Elton John gameplay is incredible. It's the best playing Jersey Jack game of all time. And it's got one third of what Wizard of Oz has in it. And Wizard of Oz was $6,500. And Elton John CE is $8,500 more, is $15,000. We didn't just wake up yesterday. And so Jersey Jack, if they have the Matrix, I hope so. I hope they bring it out sometime in the next few months. There's not gonna be this second run on Elton John machines. It's just not gonna happen. The theme isn't what people really want, and that's where that's at, right? We're not gonna see people running by ABBA right now. ABBA just got released, the Pinball Brothers. They're only gonna make 800, and they're not even gonna sell all 800. And that just goes to show you where the state of pinball is right now. You could take a musical act like ABBA and Elton John combined. Those two musical acts have sold more than 500 million albums. And collectively, they won't even be able to sell together 3,500 pinball machines. They won't be able to do it. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, why theme matters so much in pinball. We need to stop making these themes that people don't really want. They're making themes for themselves. They're not making themes for what the pinball buying demographic wants. And why is it so freaking hard to understand what the pinball buying demographic wants? No, they don't really want Labyrinth. And if I was over there at Barrels of Fun and you're telling me you're gonna pick a theme that the pinball buying demographic wants and Labyrinth didn't even sell out, like that's it. And we're only gonna make 1,100 of a licensed theme game. And if we get the theme right, it's gonna sell out instantly, and instead it doesn't. It's not because of the price, people. It's not. If the theme was better and that company put what they put into Labyrinth into a better theme, they would have sold every one. There's a reason why Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Looney Tunes didn't sell out. It's because, again, Spooky, I love them as a company, but they're making games for themselves. These are titles they want to make. It's not titles the pinball buying demographic wants. And how long do we have to see these companies just make the biggest mistakes ever when they decide on the theme? I mean, think about it for a minute. How does anybody over at Aimtron and Mukesh make Barry O's Barbecue Challenge, right? After making games now for what, like 6 years, American Pinball has been studying the pinball market, and you can green light a game like Barry O's Barbecue Challenge in 2024 and actually get approval from the bean counters to make the freaking game, and now what? The game is a colossal disaster. Nobody's buying it. Nobody bought Galactic Tank Force. And every time I see the crew over there, all smiles, wearing like Galactic Tank Force sweatshirts, I would fire everybody over there that's making these decisions because they have driven this company over the edge, off the rails, and there seemingly is no accountability. And American Pinball is already talking about their next titles. Like, I don't know what industry you work in, but I know in my industry, if you have failure after failure after failure of ideas, you get fired. But in pinball, you can have a series of boneheaded moves and still survive. Like Jersey Jack, I love Jack Guarnieri, but he's the reason why they made Godfather and Toy Story 4. And as long as Jack is picking the titles, he's so far from what people really want that I hope they get things back on the rails. I hope it's the Matrix, and I hope it's not the Muppets, people, because we need a theme that is take my money now. From all of these companies, not just Jersey Jack, everybody. We need a shot of pinball adrenaline, a shot to the heart of it. You know, like that scene in Pulp Fiction where she overdoses, and just that adrenaline shot right to the heart. What will that pinball game be in 2024? You think it's gonna be John Wick? Do you think Stern's gonna come out with a John Wick game that's gonna make us believe again at these prices? Believe again in innovation? Believe again? No, it's gonna look like every other Stern machine with not much in it, people. Get ready. I'm telling you right now, I think John Wick is gonna be big trouble for Stern. I think it might even struggle to be better than Venom. I'm just saying it because look, it doesn't have that nostalgia. Like, it's a good movie, but it's not where the sweet spot is. You need to have stuff that people wanna have in their house permanently. Because at these prices, that's the big difference. You need themes and need games that people are going to want to own for a very long time. The days of just going in on new in-box games, enjoying them for $500, and then moving them on for the next game are over. People are not losing $500, they're losing $4,000. My boy Derek lost $7,000 on a Godfather LE. $7,000. You think he's excited to buy the next new in-box Jersey Jack? No, he wants to go nowhere near Elton John because he's tired. And I think a lot of you are tired. And I think we still love this hobby. Our money is waiting. And we want to spend it on something epic, but where is that epic magical pin? Is it going to be Alice in Wonderland from Dutch Pinball X? X going to give it to you? Is X going to give us all the failed J-pop projects? I don't like this move. I think Melvin might learn a really harsh lesson. There is not the enthusiasm for J-pop's disasters. There is not the enthusiasm for the misfit mind of J-pop the way there is in the Netherlands. And we know this, right? It's like only in the Netherlands did these guys spend like so many years fixing that broken magic girl. Like, that takes some damn dedication. And it's like they feel like these games have some manifest destiny where we have to get these J-pop games working into the world. And I think they're making a huge gamble. It's not what I would do if I were DPX. I would go get some real IPs, make them limited, and make them special, and design them from the ground up. Because if all you're gonna do is remake J-pop designs, I don't think you're gonna see that much commercial success. And I hope Melvin gives me a call. I hope Chris Turner gives me a call. Ninja Eclipse! He's taking money on Ninja Eclipse today. He sent out an email being like, order banks are open on a game in which a company has not proven they know how to put a single game in a box, and they're asking for non-refundable deposits immediately. They are also boasting that this Ninja Eclipse game is less than a Stern Pro. It is $6,994. What Chris Turner doesn't know is the street price on a Stern Pro, the price that everybody pays, is actually $6,500. He also is not taking into account that that doesn't matter because you got Ninja Eclipse, bro, And a Stern Pro is like Star Wars, Jaws, Stranger Things, James Bond, Foo Fighters. Like everything Stern will sell you is a licensed IP game that's worth a lot of money. And what's the value of Ninja Eclipse? Zero. Zero. And I don't understand this. If you're going to go through all of the effort to make a pinball company and you've been studying this hobby, see, here's what I think has happened. I think Turner Pinball is basically leftover Deep Root people, and you've got Quinn Johnson over there, the storyteller, who's probably convinced them, if we just tell the story, if we make an original IP story and we tell it the right way, they will come. No, Quinn. No, Chris. That's not what works in pinball. I'm not buying children's books for Killian for $19. You're trying to sell a $7,000 product. Nobody wants your original storytelling in pinball format. That's not what's going to work. For $7,000 today, I can go buy, if I'm going to buy, an original IP game. I can go buy a dialed-in LE for $7,000. Now put that game next to Ninja Eclipse. It's still a Pat Lawler game that's loaded with Jersey Jack toys and 27-inch LCD screen and has like all the great coding in the world versus Ninja Eclipse. The thing is this. This is the harsh reality everyone's going to realize in 2024. New in box means nothing. Nothing. We are looking at these games now like never before. I have this much money and you think it's worth $15,000. The moment you think something is worth 15 grand, that is basically telegraphing, this is one of the greatest machines of all time. This is highly collectible. This is going to hold value. This is one of the most expensive pinball machines ever made. If you're going to charge people 15 grand, that game needs to check those boxes. The thing is this, they're not. A Foo Fighter LE with a topper is now a $15,000 game. Enjoy spending that much money on that game because it will be selling on the secondhand market with a topper in a year for $10,000. And I don't know who amongst us thinks that this hobby is going to be able to float those kinds of financial losses. And as I've said before, people, not in the history of pinball could you ever have lost $5,000 in like a year or two on a game. Name me one game between the years of like 2001 and 2016. Name me one pinball machine where if you bought it new in box, you could potentially lose $3,000 to $7,000 on that game. Even Mustang LEs, WWE LE, a game we all ragged on, that LE of that game has not lost $3,000 in value. So welcome to the brave new pinball world. Welcome to Canada's Pinball Podcast. Nobody else even talks about this stuff. I mean, everyone else out there is saying nothing about nothing now. It's gotten to the point where everybody as a community needs to send these companies a message. It's AAA theme, integrate it right with some real innovation or magic, or I'm not gonna buy your new in box crap. I'm simply gonna go buy older games that are well maintained, that have low plays on them for much less money, that have much more in them, that have much better themes. I mean, it is so easy because all pinball, there's no difference. It's not like every year pinball is getting better. What's happened is this. They've taken stuff out of all of these games. I mean, stand over a Jaws Pro and tell me you see a $7,000 game there. Just stand over it and tell me you see $7,000. You know, now that I'm buying a house and I'm starting to furniture shop people, I can't tell you how embarrassed I am for us. For us. You can get an incredibly crafted dining room table for the same price as a Foo Fighters topper. You can go get a couch for the same price as a Foo Fighters topper. We're talking plastic, people. Molded plastic, probably made in China. It most likely costs Stern $200 at most to make a Foo Fighters topper. and we're spending $2,000 on this stuff. And maybe I'm the only one who's like fed up with this. Maybe I'm the only one who sees the hobby this way. Maybe the rest of you see the value. Maybe the rest of you are gonna buy a Barrios game. Maybe the rest of you are like fine waiting a year and a half to get Pulp Fiction Ellie. I'm just gonna say this too. Chicago Gaming Company, you suck. You suck. You absolutely suck. Like, does anyone even have a date when their Pulp Fiction LE is going to be made? Like, does anyone even know? Like, you're going to make people wait this long. Why? What's the reason? What's the excuse? You also suck because you lied to everybody who bought your Cactus Canyon remake. Everyone who bought that Cactus Canyon remake was promised there was going to be a new code update, and it never came. Like, it's been now like 3 years, 4 years now since Cactus Canyon was revealed. You suck. Your communication sucks. I don't know any other way to say it. And I think more people should be saying this stuff. If you're going to lie to your customers and mislead them and get them to buy your products with the promise of stuff coming out and then you don't deliver it, like, you suck. If you make your Guns N' Roses owners wait 4 years for a code update, you suck. You should be listening to your customers all the time. And this is just it, people. This is just it. I'm just shocked that there's not more like, what? What's happening here? Like, the state of the hobby, I feel it. The state of the hobby is this. Everyone is feeling like these games are overpriced and we're all getting ripped off. The whole buy, buy, buy messaging from distributors sounds stupid now. Even they sound stupid saying it. Nobody believes their hype. Watching distributors try to pimp ABBA sales, I'm embarrassed for them. I don't like seeing my distributor friends have to be like, yeah, this is worth $11,000. Like, that ABBA is not worth 11 grand. And the fact that like Alien is like $3,500 cheaper is absolutely embarrassing. It's got twice as much in it and is a much better theme for pinball. But again, it's your money. It's your money, man. I'm only charging you $5 a month. I mean, some of you know you should be upping your subscriptions to more than $5 a month because of the amount of money I'm saving you. Because the one thing I'm doing to some of you out there, and it's the most valuable thing I could ever do in this hobby, is I'm breaking you of your FOMO. The whole FOMO thing is over. Like, it's gone. Like, the whole flexing and getting a game and I got one and someone else didn't and I was able to get it because I got the relationship with my distributor. Those days are over. Nowadays, it's just a few rich guys who buy everything, who want to convince us, like, let's just have fun and be happy. Yeah, it's easier said than done when you've got nothing but excess money to blow on pinball machines, and that's all you do. But for the most of us, we want more than just that. And I know a lot of wealthy people out there that see no value in these new in-box games. Like, they're on the sidelines and they could afford to buy everything. So this is the crossroads we're at. Almost everybody is out of room. For a game to make its way into your home, it's gonna have to do something really special. And again, I want the next great pin to come out over the next 6 months. We need something. Like, not even Godzilla was a AAA theme. Now, Keith Elwin made it into a AAA gameplay experience, but it's still not a dream theme for you. Is Foo Fighters a dream theme for you? James Bond, maybe? Not for most of us. Right? I mean, there are some very, very classic properties that have more universal love. Stuff like Batman 89, stuff like Die Hard, stuff like Top Gun, stuff like Matrix, stuff like Back to the Future. There's stuff out there like Chevy Chase Vacation. Like, there's a lot out there that we're not even bringing to pinball market. I know not all of it is feasible with licensing issues, but there's a lot more we could be getting. And that's all I want, is for these companies to stop making games for themselves and start doing some market research. No pinball machine should come out in 2024 by any modern pinball company that doesn't have demand, that doesn't have an audience that they know will buy at least 800 of these. If you're struggling to sell 800 of a pinball machine in 2024, because remember, it's the largest amount of people ever collecting these things. If you're struggling to sell 800 or 1,000 units, you've done one of three things wrong. You've either overpriced it, you've made a theme that doesn't have much demand, or the game isn't very good and people don't want it. And that's it. So everybody out there in the pinball manufacturing world, wake the F up. Make themes people want. Know who your target audience is. Do some market research before you start making games. To all you distributors out there, I feel bad for you. You have to say everything is great. You have to ask everybody to buy everything because your entire livelihood depends on it. But if you keep supporting these manufacturer decisions and you don't throw your distro weight around, what's going to happen is all of this new in box gravy train you've been enjoying all these years, it's all going to dissipate over the next 5 years, and then you're going to be left. You're going to be a used pinball shop. And that is not where the gravy train lies. And there's so many used games now, you're not going to be able to put your kids through college if that's where your annuity lies. And so I think everybody has to come together and get this hobby back to where it needs to be. Most games need to be less than $10,000. They have to be. Most games have to be less than $10,000. Accessories can't cost $2,000 for flat plastics. You shouldn't be spending $250 on a $10 shooter knob, all right? $250 on a $10 shooter knob. It's stupid. And the moment you look at other things in this world, it makes this stuff look ridiculous. Walk through a kid's toy store and see what $50 gets you. And then go down a list of pinball accessories, and they are treating us like grown idiots. Everybody, wake up. I'm going to be here with you during this journey. Don't worry. You're not going through this alone. I'm going to break you of your FOMO. I'm going to break you of your new in box. I have to own it all. Don't listen to the newbies who don't understand pinball. They don't understand the market. They just want to buy everything because they found some new friends in the pinball hobby. I was there 10 years ago. That's what I did 10 years ago. I bought all these arcade machines. I paid whatever people wanted. I was having so much fun. And then I woke up one day and realized I got ripped off. I barely turn on most of these machines. I was not an educated buyer. If I could go back, instead of doing all that stupidity, if I only bought half as many games and put the other half of my money into NVIDIA stock, I'd be a multi-millionaire by now. You know, hindsight's 20/20, people. Kaneda will be back with more episodes. I hope you enjoy the show. Thank you for being a club member. And again, you're never going to hear this anywhere else. Everyone's just shilling everything. Not Kaneda. Kaneda out. No matter.